Yes.
Testing. Yes.
Woohoo! Woo-hoo-woo! Yeah.
It was a nightmare.
What the fuck is up, Crunchy Boys?
I like that. I don't know what that song was. I don't know what that sound was. Sound like a goblin. Okay. I hated it. Delete that. Off the record. Oh, God.
Anyway, what's up?
Hey.
What's good?
What's going on with y'all?
Guess who's recording on time?
We are.
Yes.
Kills and Chills, Inc. LLC. Yeah.
Chills and Kills, LLC.
A nonprofit organization.
We're going to get a tax-exempt number from Office Depot.
Yes.
To buy our supplies discounted for only, like, a few cents.
Oh, my God. You think so? We could probably get our fucking, some updated mics or something.
Yeah.
Do they even sell mics?
They do. I was going to say Carnival instead of karaoke. Some karaoke mics.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we can do that. I mean, what's wrong with karaoke?
Nothing.
Not a damn thing.
Don't you start us off?
What?
Should I just start us off? I'm sorry. I'm eating a crunch bar.
This is part two of the Barbie and Ken murders. This is a continuation. If you did not know how to read, I will inscribe it in Braille for you.
Yeah, so make sure you check that first one out, because while this bitch is fucking sick, and so is her husband. So, check it out. But anyway, guess who got their fucking ass beat in court?
Who?
Malia Davis's father. Her stepfather, her alleged murderer.
Oh, God.
By her, like, biological father. He was, like, the guy, Vance Darion, I believe his name was. He was, like, in court, to, like, relinquish parental rights, to his son, which is Malia's half-brother.
Right.
And Malia's biological father was also there. And he fucking jumped him. And I was like, bro, fuck you and everything you stand for. And that ugly ass jumpsuit. And fucking just...
He beat his ass.
Yeah, he beat his ass, yeah. Also, I saw on the news.
I love taking unattractive pictures.
What?
I'm like, I love taking unattractive pictures.
I love it. So I heard on the news that a serial killer was actually released.
Oh, yeah. You told me about
that. Or is going to be released. Against the advice of, like, the victim's families. She was, one of those serial killers that... It was her and, like, another nurse. And she was, like... The, like, proper term for them is, like, angel of death. So, like, they would, like, they would kill their patients. And, like, most of the patients were, like, elderly people and had, like, Alzheimer's and all that stuff.
Old-timers.
And, like, one of them would do the killings and one of them would stand watch. But I swear to God, I heard somewhere that, like, they would have sex while, like, the patient died. I don't know if it's them or if I'm thinking about someone else. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking about a movie. I don't know. But that's it for the news.
Oh, that's it? That was very fast.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for more.
No, I just wanted to bring it up. I mean, we might cover them later on.
I also want y'all to know that Dan willingly accepted to go see Enterprise Earth with me. So that was cool.
Oh, yeah. I sure did.
Yeah, she sure did. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had fun last time because we drank like 10 drinks at the venue.
We drank so much that I literally still to this day do not remember Rings of Saturn set.
Oh,
I
know. Yeah.
I remember they were like two songs in and I was like, nah, I think I want to chill. I want to sit back. I think I told you that I wanted to be at the little table while they played because I was like, I already saw Enterprise Earth. And then I heard the intro to Godless Times and I was like, Dad, Godless Times is on.
I'm fucking done.
And that's all I remember.
Honestly, I don't remember any of it now. I remember getting hit in the elbow, like, in the elbow, in the jaw with an elbow. That's all I remember, for sure. And I remember going out to drink after that. We went out to drink after that. We went to Midtown after that.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Was that... Wow.
Yeah, we drank at the venue, and then we're like, more! I want to go drink again.
Damn.
I know.
We were on some shit in November.
We sure were.
Damn.
That's brazy.
That is so brazy. But anywho, let's not waste more time and make you hate us more because we are your favorite one-star podcast.
Kills and chills.
Kills and chills. I'm going to change our bio on Twitter to that.
Your favorite one-star podcast? Yeah. I love it.
So, yes, would you like to take us through Carla a little
bit? Sure. Let me start y'all off with some of her early life.
Tell us.
Let me show you how you might look at her early life and think, oh, yeah, this bitch turned out exactly the way I thought she would.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's what brings me back to that thing. I don't think Carla would have actually done all that all those evil things had she not met Paul.
Yeah.
Because she was fucking weird. But also, I knew plenty of weird girls in high school that aren't murderers.
AKA me, but she didn't know me.
I didn't know you in high school.
Thank God, because that was cringy.
Oh, God. Okay. So here's the deal with Carla. She was born Carla Leanne Homolka on May 4th, 1970. To parents Carol Homolka and Dorothy Sager in Port Credit, Ontario. Ontario?
Ontario.
Ontario. Don't make me sound stupid.
What the fuck?
Okay, in Port Credit, Ontario, in Canada. So her father was a Czechoslovakian immigrant. He worked as a traveling salesman, not much unlike Dean Corll's stepfather, who worked as a traveling clock salesman. So, the deal with this guy...
A clock salesman.
Yeah. So this guy, he would often go binge drinking. He would get drunk in front of his family and fight with the mom. And Carla was one of three children. So, like, her and her two younger siblings, they comforted each other. Like, so...
Ah, yes, comforting.
She was, in that sense, all right, you're a good kid.
Right.
You're gonna be all right, Carla. It'll be okay. A little bit about her. She did have asthma as a kid, which caused her to be hospitalized.
What?
Mm-hmm. So that must have sucked as a little kid to just be in and out of the hospital, just having doctors poke and prod you.
Can I side note?
Yeah, go ahead.
Unrelated, mm-hmm. but since you mentioned that she had asthma, I saw a tattoo.
Okay.
Of like an inhaler. And I was like, I need one of, like, a nasal spray.
I'm fucking dead. That'd be funny. My sister should get the asthma one, though. The inhaler.
Oh, my God. Tell her let's go.
All right. But. So, that was her life. She did love animals. She showed compassion towards animals. She did say that she wanted to be a veterinarian when she grew up. And she eventually
when
did.
When she grew up.
When she grew up. I'm sorry. I'm illiterate today.
I love that.
Oh, okay. It's because I know I'm going to hang out with 80.
She didn't pass fourth grade. Or sixth grade.
Or sixth grade. Okay, but... So, she did want to be a veterinarian when she grew up.
Right.
She had a love for animals, and she did start working at a pet shop when she got a little older. But beforehand, when she was a kid... She went to her friend's house, and they were playing with the friend's hamster.
Oh, God, is this going to be sad?
And, like, they made him, like, a little parachute. And I was like, oh, yeah, look, little parachute. And then threw him out the fucking second floor window.
Like, the dream that I had where my mom threw my hamster down the second floor?
What?
You remember I had a dream about that?
I think so. Yeah, so that's what happened. But this hamster was wearing a parachute, so he safely, made it.
He landed?
No. He landed all right, but not alive. Not alive.
Oh, I'm sad.
So, that's the thing. Like, that's a telltale sign for, like, serial killers. Right. But also, Carla wasn't a serial killer. Because it's supposed to be four or more.
Okay.
Four or more with cooling periods in between. And sure. That was not Carla. And also, another creepy thing about that. So they buried the hamster in the backyard, right?
Right.
Like, as any normal child would, I guess. Carla, visiting her friend again, went and dug up the hamster
uh-huh.
after it had already been decomposing because she wanted to see the skeleton.
Or she Hello?
I think she just wanted to see what was left of it. Which I've heard, like, people say, who the fuck does that? And I'm like, I've done that. When I was little, like, I found this little bird And, like, it fell off a nest, and, like, I kept him, like, I was gonna release it, so I kept him in my room. Like, it was one night, I kept him in my room, and it was fine. I left for school that day, and when I came back, my cousins, like, had been playing with it and broke his little leg, and, like, he died. So I was a mess. I cried. I buried him in, like, front, because I lived in apartments at the time, and I buried him in front of my bedroom window. And it wasn't until, like, weeks later, I was like, is he still there? And I dug him up. And I didn't find it weird. I still don't find it weird because I was a little kid. I was 8 years old. Little kids are weird like that.
You scare me more and more every day. And I thought I was the weird one of the friendship, but it's actually you.
So, that's why I don't think it's that strange. Like, little kids do weird shit like that all the time.
I would never in my life dig up a fucking baby bird corpse. Of course. You fucking weirdo. Yeah. I'm taking your ass to Casa Cerrado. I'm taking custody of your dogs.
No. But, I mean, obviously I would never do it now. Like, I mean, I understand the concept of death now and, like, that, you know, you shouldn't bother things that have already been laid to rest. But at the same time, when I was a little kid, I just wanted to see the bird again. You know?
No.
Well, I wanted to see the bird again, so.
Please leave some comments under our Instagram post and let us know if Dan is fucking weird, because that's very strange to me.
Yes, it's very
strange. Dr. Phil, please take us on your show.
Okay, so, yeah, she dug the corpse up, but after that, she had no other, like.
Like, run-in with anything.
Yeah, with animals. Yeah, she legitimately loved animals. She loved to keep, like, pets. She went on to work at a pet shop and went on to become a vet tech, I believe.
Okay.
And so after that, like, no more weird shit like that happened.
Right.
At least not with animals. I'm done. Okay, and then at age 12, she became obsessed with, guess.
What?
True crime.
This is all painting a picture for me.
Okay. So she started reading, you know, as girls do.
Right, yes.
She started reading the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew mysteries, and she just, that was her, that was it for her. That was her genre. She became obsessed with crime, and as she grew up, she became, like, very, not withdrawn, but just very weird. Like, she liked scaring her friends like that. Like, like, just being a weirdo. You know the type.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. Yes. Okay. I'm looking at you weird, but that's just me thinking.
Oh, okay. You're like, I'm thinking how I'm gonna get this divorce. I'm thinking how I'm gonna, oh, God.
I'm just like, I'm thinking how I'm gonna get run out of my house right now. Just let you take off.
I'm dead. Okay, but this is something you could probably relate. She became interested in the occult.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And she often called spirits with her friends. They held seances and shit.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't fuck with that, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't fuck with that either. That's a no from me, dog. But straight, I mean, up. I'm sure you, in an alternate universe, does shit like that, so.
Deadass be.
Deadass. So, as she got a little bit older, during her high school days, she was known to be edgy.
Oh.
She didn't want to conform to anything. She had a problem with, who is Karen? She has a problem with authority. She doesn't like to abide by the rules.
I'm fucking dead. Get out of my life, Gernesto.
So that kind of thing. She you know, would dress, like, different than the other kids. She gave off the impression that she didn't care what others thought of her, you know. Mm. I'm sure if she could dye her hair red, she would have.
Dead ass.
She was very also bold. Mm-hmm. And she, but also at the same time, she did self-harm. Mm. But she would, like, show off to her friends, like, oh my God, look. And then she would, like, tell her friends, yeah, I tried to kill myself last night. And so it was, like, more of an attention-seeking thing because she was, she would self-harm, but in that same, you know, sentence, she would also be very full of herself and be like, oh my God, yeah. And she was very,
Narcissistic.
She was narcissistic. She was full of herself. She wanted the attention to be about her, which I feel that's why she'd be like, guys, look what I did. Oh, my God. I tried to kill myself last night. Stuff like that.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. And she would also, you know, she was very bold with the boys. Mm-hmm. She was like, I know I got the goodies. Let me give you some.
She was sucking dick?
Yeah.
Under the bleachers?
Allegedly. So, when she was, you know, high school age, she, like, met this guy named Doug. And she really liked Doug. And Doug really liked her.
Aw.
And,
romance.
Yeah. And they began, you know, fooling around and doing drugs and shit.
Oh,
and
shit.
Having sex. And then she, like, turned around and, like, said, yeah, I lost my virginity to him. And I was like, whoa, sick. Cool. How was it? Like, yeah, he whipped me. And, like, what? Basically, she painted this picture that, like, she was heavy into BDSM.
Oh.
And that she was, like, you know,
like, whips like, and
chains.
Like, torture
porn. Yeah, whips and chains excite her. And then, like, people would go and ask Paul, no. Like, torture Doug. Porn? Yeah. Doug, they're like, yo, I heard. It's like, heard what? Bro, I heard. It's like, heard what, bro? I heard you fucking beat the shit out of Carla.
I'm dead.
Until she came. It's like, nah, bro, what do you mean? It was missionary. Oh, God.
I'm dead.
And stuff like that. So,
it was missionary.
Not only was she full of herself and she liked to harm herself for attention, she was also a liar.
Yeah, I was about to say. I was like, wow.
Yeah. So, this is already painting a picture of the... I know her specific brand of girl.
Yes.
You, with everything I've said to you...
You can picture a girl that you've seen that does that.
Yeah, that you've known personally, yeah. Like, from high school. Like, she's fucking weird.
Yeah.
So, being weird like that doesn't really make you a criminal.
No.
No, but
just
then...
Just makes you a freak.
You know, it just makes you a freak. It makes me a fucking weirdo.
Right.
But when she was 17, so still...
Baby.
Yeah, still young. I'm not sure what the consent law is, age is in Canada, but she was still here in the U.S. for the most part, underage.
Uh-huh.
That's where she met Paul.
Right, when they fucked the first night.
Yes. And Paul, at the time, keep in mind, was 23 years old.
Right, so he was hella old.
Yeah, he was way older than her. He had no business fucking...
being with a child.
Yeah. So, they hit it off. Right. It was at a fucking convention or something or other.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, how about we take this back to my room? And he fucked her. I think in front of her friends, too. That she was sharing the room with. And what? His friend that he was with. Yeah.
This is like some Girls Gone Wild shit.
Yeah, it really is. So, like I said in the previous episode, he got her number and her address for some reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just kept in touch. And at the same time, like, because we already covered that he was an abusive piece of shit. Can you imagine having an abusive-ass boyfriend who's, like, 5 years older than you while being 17?
Yeah.
The type of shit that does to you. Like, either way, she's a horrible person, but he had a lot of saying in shaping her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here it is.
Tell me things.
So, March 1998, her friend found this note where Carla wrote, "Never let anyone know our relationship is anything but perfect. Don't talk back to Paul. Be a perfect girlfriend for Paul. If Paul asks for a drink..."
Hello, shut up.
Sorry.
It's a lizard drinking an orange.
That's kind of cute. "If Paul asks for a drink, bring him one quickly and happily. Remember, mm-hmm. you're stupid. Remember, you're ugly. Remember, you're fat. I don't know why I tell you these things, because you never change." So,
abuse.
Like, yeah, like, obviously someone that's, like, being abused like that, which also, Paul was known to get physical.
Right.
Like, and also someone as crazy as her, it wasn't a good match, bro.
Nah, bro.
Like, it was terrible.
You think AD and Albert are gonna do that?
Oh my God. No. Maybe. Maybe. Also, in 1991, like, this is how much of a piece of shit Paul was.
Mm-hmm.
Bernardo and Carla had, like, a couple friends over in 1991. And they're just chilling. The kickback was cool. And Carla had a pet iguana. And the fucking iguana bit Paul. And he became very upset.
Oh, God, what did he do to the iguana?
He cut the iguana's head off and barbecued it in front of everyone and then served it. And then, according to this article, he began eating some pieces of it. Can you imagine? You're Carla. You love this iguana, or else you wouldn't have it. And your fucking boyfriend just cuts its head off and starts eating it.
He decapitated it, man.
Yeah. What the fuck, bro?
Bro, I would beat some ass.
Bro.
I'd be like, listen up, old piece of shit. You're about to die, too.
Oh, damn.
I'll decapitate his ass. Imagine if someone did that to your pet.
Yeah, that's
fucking... Like, if you did that to Barnes?
It's... Yes.
Boy, I'd be going to jail.
No, yeah. Like, I mean...
Also, Buns' birthday was yesterday. Please tell her happy birthday.
Aw, yay, Buns. Okay. So that's just how, like, terrible it was to be with him. And this isn't just, like, hearsay. We have other people backing this up. Mm-hmm. His old girlfriends that came forward after the fact that said, yeah, he was a fucking piece of shit. But at the same time, Carla was, like, so in love with him that she was willing to do anything to keep him happy. Even, which leads back to that note that she wrote. She wanted to be happy with him. She wanted him to be happy. And if that meant, like, when Paul started to, like, suggesting things to her, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, like, I was a rapist? And she, like...
Yeah.
She went along with it. And then when she found out he was a rapist, she couldn't go back and be like, oh, bro, no, that's actually kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, she had already said she was cool with it.
Yeah.
So, it would have made her a liar.
I fucking did.
So, it just spiraled from stuff like that. It kept spiraling until, like, she did what she did.
Right.
Which brings me back. It was a perfect segue for us. But, so... Carla and Paul are dating, and he becomes obsessed with her younger sister, Tammy.
Right.
Now, because Carla lost her virginity to Doug in that hot and heavy BDSM scene,
yeah.
Paul was very upset. He was pissed that she wasn't a virgin, and he was like, I don't know, man. I don't think I can come back from this to know some other dude fucked you. And she was like, no, but it's okay. And that's when he started, like, suggesting, like, you know, I really like Tammy, her younger sister.
Yes.
And he was like, that would be okay with me if I were to have her virginity since I couldn't have yours. And she went with it.
Mm-hmm.
So he became obsessed with Tammy, and Carla helped him with this obsession. She would, like, break, the blinds, I guess, in Tammy's window so Paul could watch her. She would leave the window unlocked so Paul could come in.
Mm-hmm.
And then in mid-1990, Carla assisted with spiking Tammy's spaghetti sauce,
mm-hmm,
with Valium. So she, like, crushed it and sprinkled it in pasta. And it knocked Tammy out. And Paul, like, began to rape her. But halfway through the attack, she began to wake up. So, like, plans canceled. It wasn't happening.
The kickback is canceled,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, the kickback's canceled. So, they weren't able to...
to finish the deed.
Yeah, to finish the deed. And then, what was it? I believe that's it for what I'm gonna cover. But, yeah, it was fucked, dude. It was super bad.
Yes.
Yes. So, the Tammy thing, that's where you can kind of tell, like, there's no hope for Carla after that.
No.
Like, that bitch was in it until, like, the fucking wheels fell off. And boy, did they fall off.
Yes. So, mm-hmm, picking back up from Tammy real quick.
Yeah.
Allegedly in this article, it says that he took Tammy across the border to get beer for a party.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that he later told Carla that they got drunk and began making out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the piece of shit he was.
Yeah.
Like Dan said, he did lace her paschetti.
Yeah.
And then it got real.
Mm-hmm.
In December 23rd, 1990,
mm-hmm,
Carla and what's his name? Paul, right?
Mm-hmm, Paul.
They actually gave Tammy some rum and eggnog cocktail that was also mixed in with sleeping pills. So Tammy knocked the fuck out once again.
That was horse tranquilizer. Was it sleeping pills?
Is that sleeping pills? Oh, okay. So Tammy knocked out, and then Carla and Paul undressed her. And while that was happening, Carla was applying a wash rag of halothane to her sister's nose and mouth.
I think that one was the one that I was thinking, the tranquilizer.
And so while literally Carla and Tammy's parents were upstairs, and they're videotaping themselves raping her in the basement. So in the middle of all of this, Tammy begins to like vomit. Like, she's throwing up, and then she eventually choked on her vomit and died. So instead of like calling the police, they like dressed her and did things, and then they called the police after a few hours. I'm sorry, not wait, what? What?
What?
Not a few hours. I don't know how long it was, actually. But a few hours later, Tammy was pronounced dead at one of the hospitals, and she just never regained consciousness.
Yeah.
The coroner, whoever the fuck does the thing, they ruled the death like an accidental death type of thing. But even though she literally deadass had fucking chemical burns on her face, and they're like... Nah.
Carpet burns.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, she must have fallen.
She must have convulsed.
She must have convulsed like a slug on the ground. Yeah. Just like her face. But did she? No.
No.
So they got out of that one real quick. Next.
Oh, wait. You didn't cover the best part.
What?
After that, like, Carla would wear Tammy's clothes and, like, Paul would videotape her. And, like, they would role play as if Carla was Tammy.
That's fucked up.
That is super fucked
up. That is disgusting.
As an older sister, what the fuck, bro?
Yeah.
That is fucking sick.
Yes,
it is. I was like, what the fuck?
That's not right.
No.
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 That ain't it, Chief.
That ain't it.
Yes. No.
Dinner sambe? Stomach. I haven't eaten all day.
My boob is sticking out.
Oh, my God.
Don't look at it.
I want it, though, but...
You... Damn, I come here to be free, and you're fucking giving me rules?
I'm dead.
Okay, yeah, so the morning of June 15th,
1991...
1991. Paul was driving through Burlington, not the coat factory, and he was trying to steal license plates, and while he was doing his deviant act, he found Leslie Mahaffey. She was a 14-year-old, and she had actually missed her curfew after attending a friend's wake. She, on her way home, she realized that she didn't have her key, so she was kind of locked outside. And so Paul thought this was a good idea to be like, hey, what's up, man? He's like, what, do you want to break into your neighbor's house? And she was like, do you have any cigarettes? And he was like, yeah. And he took her to the hospital, to the car, and he blindfolded her, put her in the car, and then drove her to Port Dalhousie? And he informed Carla, I got a live one.
I'm fucking dead.
So then they did the same thing they did to Tammy. They videotaped themselves, torturing her and, like, raping her, while they were listening to Bob Marley and David Bowie, a good soundtrack to your deviant acts.
Oh, God.
At one point, that says, quote, you're doing a good job, Leslie. A damn good job. The next 2 hours are going to determine what I do to you. Right now, you're scoring perfect.
That's so fucking sick. I hate
fucked
it.
Fucked up. And in another part of the tape that was played at Paul's trial, the assault just got even worse. Leslie was crying out in pain, and she was begging him to, like, stop. And he was actually sodomizing her while her hands were, like, bound with twine.
Oh, God.
Leslie later told him that the blindfold was slipping, which gave the possibility that she would be able to identify who the fuck was doing this to her. And he said that the next day, Carla actually fed her a dose of halcyon. And then Carla said that Paul strangled her. They put her body in the basement, and then they had dinner in their home. And
was that the Easter dinner at their parents, her parents' house?
When's Easter?
April.
No, this March. Is in June.
Oh, damn. Never mind.
Dan doesn't know when Easter is.
I swear to God.
I can't wait till Easter.
Why?
Because I like buying buns a bun every year.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, one year I bought her too. I couldn't help it.
Also, real quick, back to when he brought her home. I've heard that Carla, like, when they were questioning her about it, I don't know if it was this one or their next victim, that like was like, serve her some wine or something, water or something. And he like brought out like the good glasses. It might have been the next one. He brought out the good glasses that they had received as a wedding gift. And like in the interview, she's just like, yeah, what the fuck? That's my wedding present. She was like not even concerned about the girl. But she was, like, more hung up on the fact that, like, they had used her good glasses. Which I'm fucking dead. Total psychopath, bro.
For real. What the fuck?
What the fuck? Those are my good glasses.
You're really gonna do this right now, babe?
Oh, gross.
Like, what the fuck? You know we got those on our wedding anniversary. You're really going to taint them like this? I haven't even had a fucking chance to drink from them.
Yeah, that was one of the points she made. She's like, I haven't even drank in from them. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. She was fucking crazy, straight bro. Up. She was insane.
So, after her parents left the home, when they had dinner, Carla and Paul, they were like, all right, how the fuck are we going to get rid of her? So they decided that the best way to do it was to dismember her. And then they put each part of her remains in cement. Paul then bought bunch of bags of cement at the hardware store, and he kept the receipts.
Yeah. Okay. Like a dumbass.
Yeah. He's like, I really have to put these on my taxes. Which obviously fucked him over in the trial. He then used his grandfather's saw to break her up into little pieces, and then they made a shit ton of trips to one of the cement blocks in Lake Gibson with the cement blocks in Lake Gibson. One of the blocks actually weighed over 200 pounds and could not sink. And then it just kind of lay there where someone found it while they were fishing, and they used like her teeth to identify her.
Yeah. I'm okay. That's so sad.
Okay.
Also, can you imagine being her mom that locked her out of the house because she missed curfew, and now she never gets to come home?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Parents, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick, bro.
Just be like, open the fucking door and be like, you're grounded as fuck, but yeah, like, bro, let them in.
Like, that could have easily been avoided. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be ideal if there weren't rapists around. But protect your goddamn kids.
Yeah. Okay, and this takes us to the last victim. And this was during April 16th, 1992. Why do I keep saying 1992? and again, Paul and Carla were driving around up to no good looking for victims. And like the kids were getting out of school and they were walking by and they saw this girl. And it was a 15-year-old Kristen French. They pulled into a parking lot close by, and then Carla got out of the car and with like a map in her hand. And she was like, hey, can you help me with directions? I'm lost. And then when Kristen looked down at the map, Paul attacked her from behind. He pulled out a knife and he forced her into the front seat of the car. From the back seat, Carla was then able to puppeteer her using her hair.
Puppeteer her? What does that mean?
Really? The one time I add something that I did myself and you get it?
What?
Because she was sitting in the back, so anytime she did something, she would grab her by the hair.
Okay, that makes sense. I was like, what?
What's that? I've never heard of that.
I was thinking Ratatouille.
Oh, I love Ratatouille. Yeah. I want to have a mouse named Ratatouille. Even though his name was not Ratatouille.
No, it was Remy.
Yeah.
We're culture.
So, they took... So, literally, apparently, Kristen took the same route every day. It took her about 15 minutes to get home, and then she would go take care of a dog. Mm-hmm. Once this did not happen, her parents kind of freaked out, and within 24 hours, the Niagara Regional Police Services had a team searching for her. Mm-hmm. And then apparently several witnesses actually had seen the abduction from different locations. Mm-hmm. Her shoe was recovered from the parking lot, and it kind of told them, like, ah, shit, yeah, all right.
Yeah, she was taken.
Yeah.
For some reason, the shoe left behind is so ominous. The same with the Laura Ayala case.
Yeah.
Or, like, only her shoe was left behind. That's I don't know. That's
I'm going to do that to
that's
you.
That's upsetting. No. I'm
gonna leave one shoe.
No.
It's going to be, like, my ugly-ass Tom, and you're going to be, like, her hooves.
The white one.
The white one, yeah.
Oh, my God. I never got to give her the white ones.
I'll never have white Vans. White Vans, white socks.
They're somewhere in my house. I don't know where, but...
They're somewhere. Mm-hmm. You should have put, like, a tracking system on them.
I should have.
Be like, beep, beep.
You know what? I'm going to look at the stuff that they took out of my parents' room. Maybe it'll be there.
Maybe. Okay, so over the Easter weekend, here we go. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Paul and Carla videotaped themselves again doing the same shitty things, uh-huh. Raping, sodomizing, forcing her to drink large amounts of alcohol and to become Paul's slave. At the trial, one of the prosecutors by the name of Raul Houlihan said that Paul always intended to kill her because she was never blindfolded and could identify them very clearly.
Yeah.
The next day, Paul and Carla murdered her before going over to the Homolka's for Easter dinner.
There we go.
Yeah, and apparently Paul strangled Kristen for 7 minutes while she was just, like, mm-hmm. Carla was just, like, watching.
Yeah.
Paul then said that Carla beat Kristen with a rubber mallet because she had tried to escape at one point, mm-hmm. and then she was strangled with a noose, mm-hmm. which was secured to a hope chest. Uh-huh. What's a hope chest?
Like those big chests that are in front of your bed.
Oh. Yeah. And after that, Carla then went to fix her hair. Oof.
This bitch.
She's
a sociopath, bro.
She's dead ass. So, Kristen's body was found April 30th, 1992 in a ditch in Burlington. She had been, like, washed off. Mm-hmm. Her hair was cut off. Mm. And it seemed as though... It gave off the impression that her hair was cut off to keep as a trophy.
Oh, gross.
And then Homolka testified that it was cut to impede identification. I don't know what that would do, but all right. There's this thing called teeth.
You're right. God, they're stupid. Oh, during her trials, like, Carla, like, made herself out to be, like, this battered wife. Because he did beat her ass, like...
Oh, yes. With the flashlight. The flashlight. He beat the shit out of her. Mm-hmm.
And which prompted her to, like, go forward to the authorities.
Right.
And so everyone, like, as they were giving her the worst deal in history of deals.
I think it was called the deal with the devil.
Yeah. Look, this poor wife, her older husband is beating her ass, like, he might be the Scarborough rapist.
She was saying that basically he had convinced her to do all these mm-hmm. things, that she had really no actual part in it.
Yeah.
Other than him telling her.
What to do.
Yeah, but then when they found the tapes. I think it was too late at that point.
Yeah,
right?
It was too late at that point.
The deal had been done. Mm-hmm. It showed off that she literally was doing these things on her own.
She was not not a mastermind, but like she was a willful participant. Yes. She was, and maybe somewhere in the back of her head, maybe she wasn't enjoying it, and it was all an act for the benefit of Paul. But the thing is, you already fucking did it.
Exactly.
You're already doing it. That's you pretending to like it, but at the same time, that's the same victim suffering for
exactly.
it.
Exactly, including your fucking sister, bro.
Bro, what the fuck? And so, it's like, I don't think she should have been released.
No, but she did serve 12 years in prison, and then when she got out, she gave, I think, like, one interview to someone and, like, explained, like, her side of things, which obviously we all know is bullshit, but...
She's a fucking liar. She's a lying liar who lies.
But she now lives happily... Somewhere in Canada.
She has, like, three kids.
She has three kids, and she actually married the brother of her attorney.
Yeah. And it's like,
And, you know, honestly, if a sociopath, murderous, almost serial killer can find love, so can I. And welcome to the new segment of Kills and Chills called Love Advice with Ken.
I'm fucking dead. But back to that, I feel... I lost my train of thought. Well, what the fuck was I saying? Oh, yeah, when they released her, they were like, yeah, we don't think she poses a threat. I don't think she poses a threat either. Because the only reason she did these things... Allegedly. ...was to appease Paul.
Right.
Or, like, to, like, win Paul over, fucking keep him interested in her, which I feel like was her goal all along, to, like, keep him interested in her, keep him happy, keep him satisfied. So, I honestly, unless she fucking married another murderer, I don't think it's gonna happen again.
Right.
With her. But, I mean, I still don't think she should have been released.
She should not. She should be in jail.
Yeah, I think she should be in jail. Yeah.
They're all bitches and I hate them.
Paul's still alive.
He's in jail. Thank God.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever getting released.
He looks like Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins.
No. Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage. He really is a rat in a cage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Oh, yeah. For real.
Fuck that guy so hard. Sodomize him.
Yeah. I just feel like they were, like, he was already fucked up in a monster way before he met her.
Right.
And she was just too fucking weird. And...
it just doesn't work.
And she adopted his, like, his lifestyle so easily just to be cool with him.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that's what makes her a monster. She still fucking did it.
Yeah.
She didn't know when to tell him no. And it's like, you stupid bitch.
Yeah, so literally, camina con ruedas, bro.
I'm fucking dead. Be careful who you fall in love with, guys.
Yeah, be careful, because you never know when they're going to be a serial killer.
Yeah.
And when they're going to turn you into a serial killer.
Yeah, for real.
For real. But on that note, your girls are not serial killers.
Yeah.
Thankfully. Well, we don't know. Dan's a little questionable.
Hey,
right
look,
now.
Right now, hey, man, I shared something with you, with all of you.
You, whoa,
in confidence.
Whoa. You rude ass bitch. I didn't even know you were like that, you rude ass bitch.
Oh, God.
Look, guys. Ass motherfucker.
Look, guys, I've never shown potential psychopath tendencies. So, there's that.
On the next episode of Kills and Chills, we're taking Dan to get a psychiatric evaluation.
I'm fucking dead. I thought it was going to be worse. We're going to we're going to interview Dan's family.
Oh my God. Me too, like your dad. How do you feel about your daughter?
No, she's all right, I guess. She wasn't a son, but I mean.
She wasn't a son. How do you feel about Dermis?
Dermis, yes. My name is Dermis now.
She's Dermis.
Alrighty, guys. Well, that's all we have for you today. Hope these fucking people gave you something to think about.
Yeah.
As in, be careful. That was weird. As in, be careful who you let into your lives, as they might be monsters and turn you into a monster as well. But if you're well-adjusted and don't show...
psychopathic tendencies.
Aren't a narcissist, you might fare well and know when to cut it off, like a healthy adult. My stomach's growling. But we leave you on that note. We're going to go get tacos. Throw us some suggestions. We don't know what to cover next. Another serial killer?
We got a suggestion. Haunting?
Oh, do we?
We do, from Alex.
Oh, what do you want? What does he want?
What does he fucking want? He gave us, hold on. Wait, should we tell? No, we shouldn't, because then that's a surprise. He gave us a suggestion, so we will look into that. And then I also have a suggestion for what we can do.
Oh, okay. All right. Bet.
Fat ass bet.
Throw those suggestions our way, though. We probably won't ever get to it, but
we'll try.
All right, guys. We'll see you later.
Bye.